Looking for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Politic Talk with Michael and Mary Beth. Here we are, week number 2 of 2024, right?
Yes. Can you believe it's Sunday night again already?
Already. Sunday night. A lot of stuff going on this week in the news, and going to be starting a new series tonight. I'll explain that in a few more minutes. You got something to start us off with over there tonight?
Yes, I do.
It's devotion time with Mary Beth.
Good evening, everybody. Tonight's devotional is called The Holy Whip. Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. That's from John 2:16. Many within the church don't think of prosperity preachers who talk of nothing but gaining wealth as those who make the church into a house of merchandise, but they do. They preach godliness as a means of gain. Speaking of evil men, this verse says, "Useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a mean of gains. From such withdraw yourself." That's from 1 Timothy 6:5. I'm sure that when Jesus took a whip to the buyers and the sellers who had invaded the temple, the fear of God entered their hearts. The whip added power to his words. Proponents of prosperity teaching need to understand the fear of God. Perhaps then they would realize that this doctrine, focused on selfishness and greed, would one day be judged for the sin that it is. Repentance is in order. Truth must be preached so that this lost world will flee from the wrath of God and come to the Savior. The soul search tonight is, am I attracted to self-centered messages that have no concern for the unsaved? Do I see Christianity merely as a means of monetary gain? And the prayer, Father, help me to be free from selfishness and to keep my eyes on the true riches.
Amen.
So, kind of timely.
It is timely. And beginning tonight, I kind of hinted that we were going to be doing a new series, and this series is simply titled Better, talking about better for the new year, better things we can do. And the main idea here is when we put the things of God first in our lives, the other things fall into proper order. However we prioritize earthly things, we find ourselves anxious and full of worry, and God helps us have better priorities. So tonight, we're going to talk about those better priorities. And as we begin another year, help us, Lord, to order our lives in ways that honor you and bring glory to your name, and help us to prioritize our time and energy in such a way that our lives will be fulfilling and faithful. We need your help just as much this year as we did last year. And thank you for your unfailing love and concerns over all of your creation. And so a little bit later on in the show, we're going to dig into this new series, a four-parter, and I think you're going to find some enlightenment in it as well.
Well, good. I'm waiting. I'm ready.
We all need some enlightenment, and, you know, and in spite of all the news that's out there, oh, my goodness, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, there's so much negativity right now. There's just so much negativity.
You ready to jump into this news segment?
Yes.
Politics, current events, it's what's going on in the world. It's time for the news. And in light of that news, some of the hot topics out right now, you know, they're getting into what really happened. House investigation into what really happened on January 6th, you know, entering the new phase with Speaker Jordan support.
Johnson.
Speaker Johnson, sorry. Misread there. But, you know, as we know, a lot of us seen what happened. A lot of us seen people kind of moving the gates out of the way and telling people to come on through, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not like this was not live and happening on television as things got started.
Yep.
And it certainly didn't take much to keep it a news story and keep it live because we were watching what was happening.
Yep. Well, Loudermilk, Barry Loudermilk, who's leading the charge on this, vowing to bring truth to the American people, think he's from a Republican from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
He's the chairman of the House Administration Committee Oversight Subcommittee, and he's telling Fox Media that his investigation, which began under former Speaker Kevin McCarthy, is expanding with the support of House Speaker Mike Johnson, and we're entering a new phase, he said. The Speaker has committed whatever resources we need to move forward and basically tripled the size of that staff in this. And, you know, there's a lot of things here that they're interesting that some of the things that they're saying about this,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're investigating what really happened, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And how are they able to get into the Capitol, right?
Exactly. And, you know, what's the truth versus I'm looking for a word and I can't find it. It's my brain.
Well, you know, I don't see insurrection in stuff.
Not at all.
I think that, you know, they've tried to drag it through the mud and drag it through the mud and drag it through the mud. And, you know, they've been trying to get something to stick for almost 4 years, right?
Oh, longer than that.
And
they started trying when Trump was first in office.
Well, even before he even got into office, right?
Absolutely.
If the truth comes out and everything's put out there like it is. But, you know, there are several states that have tried to use the 14th Amendment to remove, you know, Trump from state ballots and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, President Biden has focused his reelection campaign on January 6th, right? Instead of, let's bring up January 6th so that we can kind of cover up everything that looks bad from my administration, kind of is what my thing is.
Everything.
Everything. So,
yeah, I mean, they really have Biden dead to rights on most of this stuff right now. And so,
yep.
As politicians are wont to do, they certainly want to draw fire away from what's actually happening around their campaigns or around their administration. So, absolutely.
Yep. And, you know, there's more talk coming out from different people about who they're putting their stakes behind,
mm-hmm.
with this caucus, just, you know, really a day or so away, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we were saying that Rubio had stated that he was standing up for Trump.
Yes.
There are others, you know, there will be more that will come out there. You know, there's also claims, you know, Nikki Haley's closing in on Trump's numbers, and, you know, there's good and bad things said there, but, you know, let's just get the right person in office and let's start there, right?
Yeah, you know, and I've always been a proponent of Nikki Haley.
Yep.
From the time she was our governor here in South Carolina through the UN and everything else. And of course she did have a falling out with President Trump.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I understood it, a mea culpa was given and she was allowed back into the fold, so to speak.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know a lot of people have been saying, you know, there's always going to be one side and the other. And then there's, of course, that middle ground. But people are either liking or hating Nikki right now. And I need to do my own research to see what is going on behind the scenes, because I really haven't had time. But, you know, I definitely want to see why there are people on social media coming out and blasting her, because, you know, the things that I've seen her say haven't really offended me in any way. So maybe I'm missing something, but, you know, we always tell everybody else to do their research. So I need to do mine too.
Yep. And just some of the names that we're seeing here, Jim Jordan says he's 110% for Trump, right?
Uh-huh.
Doug Burgum, North Dakota governor, is throwing his support behind former President Donald Trump.
Which
so.
Is interesting there, because they're looking at the governor from North Dakota to possibly be a running mate for Trump should he get the nomination, which is very interesting.
And, you know, I don't know if you can see this on your side or not, but this is one article. You and me, Haley, Trump duel on campaign trail as Iowa caucuses loom. Trump says of Haley, she's not ready to be president. Of course, she's firing back. Former President Trump speaking Sunday at a rally in Indianola, Iowa.
That's an interesting name.
Big name, right?
Yes.
Before the Iowa caucuses, you know, said of one of his Republican presidential nomination opponents, Nikki Haley is not ready for the job, is what he told her. And he explained that he gave Haley her position of UN ambassador when she was governor of South Carolina because he wanted Lieutenant Governor Henry McMaster to be governor of the state, which he's done pretty good.
Well, you know, aside from saying we don't do crazy in South
Carolina. Yeah, we don't do crazy here. But, you know, Nikki did a good job with that. But he feels that she's not ready, and it seems like there's some more shots coming across the bow from the other side, right?
Well, you know, and it sounds kind of like anything else that goes on during a campaign. It sounds like some sour grapes, you know, that she is really the front runner right now, who's coming up behind him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's kind of, I mean, I like President Trump. I would totally vote for President Trump again. Yep. But my thing is this, is she actually has more political experience under her belt.
Oh, yeah.
Than he did when he was running for president. So it's like the pot calling the kettle black.
Yep. And they're saying roughly, they're saying that Trump has 50% of the vote. Right now, mm-hmm. of the support,
right,
basically. So, you know, it's something, you know, Haley and DeSantis stood at 20 and 16% respectively in the new survey. You know, and he grabbed 50% of the support or higher in a slew of polls over the last month, and he stood at 48% of the support in the final Des Moines Register.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's something to watch over the next few days. And something to definitely keep our eyes on and keep in prayerful thought about, you know, what is going to happen with the state of politics in this country.
Absolutely.
And keeping in with that same theme, let's talk about Hunter and the Biden ordeals over the last.
Oh, goodness. This is one of those things I'm going to tell y'all, I just don't know if I have the strength.
Well, they are, it seems that Hunter and his lawyer showed up for a congressional, you know, session there, where they were going to vote on whether to hold him in contempt of Congress.
Well, yeah.
And then he left just before Marjorie Taylor Greene spoke, and Congress voted, of course, to hold him in contempt.
Ooh, Hunter.
So they're going to move forward with the contempt of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
He's refused to sit down in front of congressional lawmakers to testify about his business dealing behind closed doors. But he said he'll do it in a public forum.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know.
I don't get that.
I don't either, because that says two different things to me. One, if he has a private conversation with them, they're going to drill him, and he's going to be afraid that stuff's going to come out that they're then going to utilize against his dad. But if he does it in a public setting, then perhaps they won't come at him.
Or go as hard.
Right, exactly. as he thinks that they will. But honestly, I think he's toast either way.
Well, he's already defiled two valid lawful subpoenas.
That's no good.
So, yeah.
That's a no-no.
Yeah. And, you know, so let's wait and see what happens. You know, he actually dodged questions about his dad's phone call. He was asked, someone asked, you know, why these phone calls, you know, with his dad about, you know, when he was on these business trips. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I heard he fired back was, well, do you talk to your parents? Well, their parents weren't the vice president of the United States,
for
right?
For real.
So,
And I mean, it's just ridiculous at this point, you know? I mean, he can sit there and say that he's not going to answer questions and he's not going to do this and he's not going to do that because he feels like he's protected.
Uh-huh.
And the thing about it is if we are truly going to stand up to things, nobody is above the law. I mean, they are trying to take down Donald Trump.
Yep.
From his presidency. So what makes Hunter Biden think that he's above the law?
Yeah, I don't know. But this, too, we shall see, right? And we shall see more on what happens in Iowa in, a day and 50, a little over 24 hours from now, right?
Right.
1 day, 57 minutes. So 8 o'clock tomorrow night, those Iowa caucuses. So we'll see a little bit more about what happens with that.
Interesting.
Got an interesting story for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bible Recap host was amazed after taking top spot on the Apple charts. Said he just couldn't believe it.
Hmm.
There's a Bible Recap, a chronological yearly Bible reading plan, and a podcast that has taken the top spot on the Apple charts. And it's basically a yearly, popular yearly Bible reading podcast, recently reached number one on the spot on Apple Podcast. And the woman behind it said she never dreamed it would reach millions of listeners since its launch in 2019.
But that's exactly what we as people are trying to, you know, get into more because of everything that's going on. People want to hear about how the Bible says we're all going to be okay and what we need to do and everything else. So, yeah.
Well, you know, basically her show has grown from a one-woman show in her apartment to a full team of people. She has written books and study guides to accompany the show in the last 4 years, and the podcast has earned over 331 million downloads.
We don't have quite that many yet.
No, it has. No, we have nowhere near that, but I am happy with the over 1,500 downloads and, you know, 152 shows now, and countries we've seen basically from all different parts of the world.
Absolutely.
Listening. And, you know, for me, it's not about the quantity. It's about getting out there. And I said it and I'll say it again and I'll keep saying it. If one person is saved or another person's life turned to Christ because of this, hey, it's a win, right?
Oh, absolutely.
It is very much a win.
Mm-hmm.
And staying on that, and in Christian world news, there's a surge of violence against Christians that is going on right now. And I was looking through some other stories, and, you know, all the violence in different parts of the world that's coming out right now is just kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yet telling.
Yes.
And, you know, I can't really find the right words to put to how it is I really feel.
Yeah,
on this,
so. I know. 'Cause it's so weird when you think about, you know, like, I mean, that Christians are being, you know, spoken out against, but the Jews are too, and so are Muslims. So pretty much whatever religious group you belong to, you're not safe. I mean, you know, there's not one religion that you can be a part of where people aren't going to make attacks and say things about what you believe in. And it's just terrible that this has to be one of the things that's a dividing force, not just in the country, but around the world.
Oh, yeah, everywhere right now. It's, you know, different things going on, and there's story after story after story of just, you know, from the UK, from over in, you know, Pakistan to India to what's going on in Russia to, I mean, it seems like it's never ending. The story cycles, like there's one here Israel calls South Africa's genocide claim a liable ACLJ attorney suit says the same anti-Semitism. So you got all these things going against each other. You got Muslim gunmen, you know, killing Nigerians and Christians after a church service in the wake of a Christmas massacre. You know, there are all these things that are going on around the world that you just, you know, you have to look at and shake your head and know that the devil's alive and he's still trying to do his bidding, right?
Right. And, but, you know, all the crazy stuff that's happening in Yemen and the Middle East right now.
Oh,
You know, where we're actually at war. And
unpronounced, but yes, yeah, pretty much.
And that is very scary too, because I mean it's not a secret. Our country does better prosperity wise when we are at war. And so whatever size that war may be, you know, the government is still trying to put those things to work, and it's terrible because it's old men,
yep,
that are starting these wars, and they're sending young men to go and fight it.
Yep.
And it's just not, I mean, it's just not a good time in the world.
Well, here's what I want to ask people, okay? Think back to, you know, several years ago when you had all the riots going on in the summertime and everybody's wanting to remove statues, rename things, and all of these things that people were wanting done at that time, right?
Right.
What did it change? Did it change anybody's life?
I don't think so.
I think what it's done is it's erased more of trying to remove and erase history. And when you remove and erase history, history tends to repeat itself.
Right. And not only that, but you have these situations where things are taken down and it's not really a fight. It's just like they feel like if they take things down, if they give people what they want when they're protesting against something, that's going to sort of alleviate the problem. But instead of alleviating the problem, then you've just got new fires that pop up because they're like, oh, well, if we can push the government to do this, then we should be able to push the government to do this or this or this. And it's really divisive.
Well, it's all these groups that are living outside of the, you know, the realms of Christianity and different things like that are driving for a lot of these things to be done. And in the end, they're trying to push people further away from God, but is it really working for them?
Exactly. I mean, and it's one of many things that there are wedges being driven between people, whether it's racial, whether it's, you know, your sexuality, whether mm-hmm. it's your education level, whether it's what religion you are. These are all little wedges that are being put between people to make us polarized and isolate us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And
Instead of bringing us together, right?
Yeah, and there are definitely wedges, let me tell you, folks.
Oh, absolutely.
There are more wedges than there are wedges. Let's just say that, right?
There's more wedges than a golf ball.
There you go. So, in keeping with this, you ready to move into the message for tonight?
I am. I'm very interested to hear what you've got in store for us.
All right. It's time to learn. It's time for the message. So as we gather tonight to be encouraged and learn more about the great love that God has for you and me, and as you know, we have just entered a brand new year, this is the perfect time to look back on the past and ask what we've learned. Well, you know, what can be learned? It's a perfect time to look ahead and ask ourselves if we're living the kind of life that God wants for us, or if we can do better. So tonight we begin a new sermon series called Simply Better. We look at four different areas of our lives that we could make simple changes to experience God's fullness and blessing. We will evaluate our priorities, our relationships, our choices, and our witness. So let's open our hearts and minds as we dive into our priorities and into the new year together. So I want you to imagine that with me, I have a large clear container and two smaller containers, okay? One smaller container will have small pebbles, while the other container will have large stones. Our lives are made up of priorities, and like these rocks, some priorities are large, like family, work, etc., like, you know, the large stones, and other parts of our life are made up of very small priorities, like working out, watching sports, or eating out at restaurants, and that's like the smaller rocks. So the question is whether we have our priorities in proper order. So, for instance, if we were to fill our lives with the smaller priorities, first the larger and more important priorities cannot fit, right? There's no room for them anymore. So the goal is to then reverse this order. Large stones first, with the large priorities placed first. Then there's space for all the small ones to fit in and around everything. So the Bible speaks to this need to order our lives as well. God knows that without keeping the main thing, the main priorities, we can get lost in the lesser things. And as we begin this new year, we must take an honest look at our lives and consider what priorities we have put first. What things matter the most? So the first thing we're going to talk about is seeking God first. Jesus' most famous sermon in the Gospels is called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus turns to preaching and teaching about how we have the tendency to worry about our lives. Maybe some of you can relate to this right now. We're worried about paying the bills. We're worried about our children. We're worried about our marriage. We're worried about what this new year might hold. Jesus states that trusting in the Father is the only way to keep us from being paralyzed by anxiety. In verse 33, Jesus gives us the answers to our worry. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, from Matthew 6:33. So we must seek God first. Do you hear the language of priority? Jesus tells us that we need to seek after a life that pleases God. All the things that we have the tendencies to worry about will fall in proper order. So let's look at how this might, you know, practically work out day in and day out. So when it comes to our marriages, we might be worried about when we put Jesus first, we might mature into more gracious, loving, and kind spouses. We may, in turn, have a positive impact on our marriage. When it comes to our finances, perhaps focusing on God first may reveal to us how we spend too much on things that don't matter. When it comes to our children, we may find that putting God first may make us more patient and understanding with our kids. So as we think about these priorities, the question is, are you seeking after God? Is God at the center of these things, or are you seeking after the smaller stones that don't matter as much? Is your attention and energy divided? So someone once asked legendary coach Tom Landry why he had been so successful as a football coach. He said, in 1958, I did something everyone who has been successful must do. I determined my priorities for life, God, family, and then football. You see, folks, Tom Landry got it right. He knew that to succeed in our families and our careers, we must seek God first. So how do we seek God? We seek him like we seek anything else. We must spend a lot of time and energy in pursuit of him. Seeking God takes time. It's a marathon and not a sprint. We also seek God by knowing what it is that we are looking for without knowing what we are looking for, right? We never know when we find it. But when I seek God, I'm looking to do things in my life that shape me into someone who looks more and more like Jesus Christ, loving, courageous, and sacrificial. The only way that we can make the effort to seek God first is by deciding to love him more than anything else. Jesus speaks to this as well. And in fact, in this moment in the Gospels, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees try to trap Jesus by asking him a question about priorities, as he travels along, he is cornered by a lawyer who asks him a tough question. hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and Pharisees, you know, got together, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." That's from Matthew 22:34-40. So did you catch the question that the man asked Jesus? He said, "What is the greatest commandment?" He could have easily asked it this way: "Jesus, what should I have as my greatest priority?" Jesus quotes a commandment from the old Bible, from the Old Testament, when he tells him to love God with all his heart, soul, and mind. This was Jesus' way of telling him to love God with everything. The second thing is, love God with all you have. So how can you tell when you love something or someone? The easiest way to tell is that you talk about it or them all the time, because they're always on your heart and your mind. When a couple falls in love, it's almost sickening how much they talk about each other. When someone really loves their sports team, they bring it up all the time. The same should be true of us if God is truly our priority. When we love him with all we have, we can't stop talking about him. He is regularly a topic of conversation. We look for reasons and ways to bring him up. Now, I found this to be true in my marriage to Mary Beth. Okay? I love her with my whole heart. I love to talk about her. I love to brag about her. I'm always looking for reasons to bring her up, and as a result of my deep love for her, I want to do everything I can to please her.
Aww.
My love for her makes everything else I do in my life more meaningful, right? I look for how everything I do can help empower the love we share rather than it being a hindrance to the love we share, right? Loving God with all of your heart, soul, and mind helps us realize that every part of our life is incredibly meaningful. How we do our life reflects how we love God. This means how we handle our career is meaningful because it says something about our relationship with Jesus. This means how we parent our children is reflective of our relationship to our Heavenly Father. Our love for God should be the motivation and inspiration every day over the next year. We want to look back 365 days from now and realize all the ways we loved God with all we have. And this is what I found. God meets our needs and our lives most fully when we prioritize his needs in our hearts. That is a result of love. Notice how Jesus ends the conversation. He tells the man that the first and greatest commandment is to love God, and the second is just like it. We are to love our neighbor. It seems that unless we get loving God right first, we have no hope of loving our neighbor. There's a prioritization that God lays out for us in this passage. He even says it in verse 40, all of the laws and the prophets depend on getting these first two right. They are the big rocks and the rest are small stones. We cannot get them out of order. The third thing here tonight is focus on the eternal rather than the temporary. One easy way to know where we put our energies this year is by asking a simple question. Is this thing eternal or temporary? To spend our time focusing on serving others is to focus on their eternal souls. On the contrary, to spend our time focusing on building a massive 401k is to focus on something we cannot take with us when this life is over. Which is better? I would argue it is the eternal. The Apostle Paul understood this important distinction as he wrote to the early church in Corinth. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. From 2 Corinthians 4:18. Paul says that we should not spend all our time focused on what is unseen. Rather, we should focus on what is unseen. The things that we can see will one day pass away, while the things that are unseen will go on forever. Which is easier to spend our energies on? In my experience, it's the things that are seen because they are too often more obvious to us. This means it takes more intentional effort to give ourselves to the things of God. So over the triple doorways in the Cathedral of Milan, there are three inscriptions spanning the splendid arches. Over one is a carved, beautiful wreath of roses, and underneath it, it is the legend: all that which pleases is but for a moment. Over the other is a sculpted cross, and there are the words, all that troubles us is but for a moment. But underneath the great central entrance to the main aisles is the inscription that is only important, which is eternal. If we always realize these three truths, we will not let trifles trouble us and not be interested so much in the passing pleasures of the hour. We should live for the permanent and the eternal. So, as we go through this series and get into a new year, I want to encourage you to think about these things and bring them before God in prayer. What in your life could be reordered? What could be reprioritized? And make sure that these things that receive your time, attention, energy, and affection are things that will last. Take a moment to pray and ask God how to show you the big rocks in your life. And place those on the schedule first. The little stones to come next as a second priority. And if our priorities are centered around God, everything else will have a way of working out. So what did you think about that?
Very good. Yeah, I did like that a lot.
So that is the first part of this four-part series.
And just to let you know, I love you too.
Just to let me know?
Yes.
Because you have to let me know.
No, I don't.
But, I mean, you know, it's a simple way of thinking about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple way of bringing it out forward more and more and trying to get these different things here. And, you know, I think that, you know, as we move through this series and start to look at things deeper, I think that we're going to learn a lot more, maybe about ourselves. What do you think?
That's always a good thing. That's always a good thing because, you know, I think we all internally keep that sort of fire burning,
right?
In trying to discover new things about ourselves or why we think something that is going on with us is going on with us, and why isn't so-and-so having to have the same issues? And being able to learn more about yourself and more about what's in the Bible, mixing those two things together,
yep,
answers a lot of questions. You know, I'm great for giving advice, but sometimes I don't even take that advice to heart myself. You know, I will freely admit that. But, you know, this is no secret. I suffer from anxiety, very bad anxiety sometimes. Yep. And sometimes it's like I overrun what I know.
Yep.
You know, I know that if I pray, I talk to Jesus, you know, those things, when I give them back to him and I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. I need help. I need your grace. I need your strength.
Yeah.
When I take a breath and do that, I find out that things are a lot more clear.
Yeah.
And it's just that sometimes I get in such a rut and I don't think of the simplest answer.
Yeah.
And I literally will make myself crazy trying to think about stuff.
Well, you know, over the next several weeks, next week, continuing with this quote unquote better. Next week, we're going to talk about better relationships. And then week three, we're going to talk about better choices. And in week four, we're going to talk about better witness. So,
very interesting.
As we move through this better process, I think that, we're gonna find that we can grow better.
Yes, indeed, we will be better for the knowledge.
We will be better of the bestest.
Well, alrighty then.
But you know, coming into this year, I think you know it's important that we try to get things kicked off right and going in the right direction, and you know, continue to pray for everything we got going on, and you know, continue to help people and to continue to lead people into Christ, right?
We have absolutely had a very harsh couple of weeks of 2024 already.
Yeah.
Just based on the news. So absolutely, pray your little hands off. Just pray them.
Yeah. And one thing that, you know, there may be somebody listening later on the podcast that just trying to figure this whole God thing out. You know, mm-hmm. It's amazing that people today still look at that like that, right?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, and, you know, a lot of people were not raised in religion, or mm-hmm. maybe they were raised in religion, but
they kind of lost step.
They did, or they didn't agree with something that the church that they were going to said. So, you know, they just make a blanket judgment call about religion in general.
Yep, and I mean, if there's somebody listening on a podcast later or listening tonight or maybe even a week or a month from now, a year from now, we don't know. But if there's anybody listening who has yet to turn their life over to Christ, you know, just be willing to turn from sin and repent and believe that Jesus died for you, who was buried and rose again from the dead to pay that price. And just pray to invite Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You don't have to be in a special place. You don't have to have a preacher do it for you. You don't have to have any, you know, special things going on. You can just do it wherever you are.
You don't even need a middleman.
Nope, just open your heart and say a simple prayer like this. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness, and I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and to help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, now's the start. Time to start digging in, start learning. What's some of the things, most important things you can do?
Get yourself a Bible.
That's right. Start learning, start digging in. There's NIV versions that are basically a more translated context. It's easier to read, easier to follow. Most, you know, a lot of people like that. Better than the King James Version. It kind of takes all the these and thous out, makes it more contemporary, right?
Absolutely.
Something else.
Join a church. You know, a Bible-based church, mm-hmm. that's, you know, you can also join a small group and have yourself a Bible study, and just learn to pray. You know, praying is not very hard. It doesn't have to be something that somebody else wrote that you memorize and can spew at any point.
Yeah.
It's a conversation.
Yep.
It is a conversation that is just between you and God, and
I do it all the time.
Yes. I mean, you can do it
multiple times a day.
You can do it anywhere. I mean, you could, like, usually in the mornings when I'm driving to work, I'm having a conversation with God, just kind of, you know, setting up my day, talking about things that, you know, maybe bothering me, or like if I'm stressed out or I know I'm going to have a hard day ahead, I certainly do ask for grace and strength to get me through my work day.
Oh, definitely.
And, you know, sometimes I'm washing my hair in the shower and, you know, I'm like, you know, I was just thinking about this. And, you know, you don't ever have to worry about, is it formal, is it informal, because it's whatever you want to make it.
Very much so.
I mean, if you want to say an Our Father, you go right ahead.
Yep.
If that's what makes you feel comfortable, go ahead. But if you just want to have a conversation, he's always listening.
Very much so. You got any final thoughts over there tonight?
About no, anything? I've just been a regular chatty Kathy at the end this time.
I'm telling you, man. You missed a extra caffeine or something. I don't know.
Usually I'm just like, nope, not a thing. Nope.
I'm like, mine's bent, wore out.
But I do want to send out good vibes and prayers to everyone who I have spoken to this week who, you know, has had a need for prayer or they've asked for prayers for something going on in their life, or even if they haven't asked and I just think they need them anyway.
Yep.
You know, I'm giving shout outs to God for these folks.
Giving a shout out.
That's right. I know he hears me.
Well, hey, we'd love to hear from you. If you've got an idea for a show or something that you want to hear as a topic, send us an email, christianpolititalk@gmail.com. That's Christian, PolititaLk @gmail.com. We're going to leave you with a commercial at the end. You'll hear it again. But we look forward to everybody joining us again next Sunday night, and we will do this all over with a continuation. Don't forget, next week, going to be talking about better relationships in the Better series. And we'll do it right here next Sunday night. Everybody have a great evening. Appreciate you joining us.
Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at christianpolititalk@gmail.com. That's Christian, PolititaLk, @gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
These days my heart's always on the run. These days the world's spinning out of control. Furious, feels like the worst is ahead of us. Oh, sometimes it's hard to feel at home, but I believe that you and I are in the right place at the right time. God called us by name, and He doesn't make mistakes. Just needs the hope that's inside of us. Ooh, ooh. What if it's more than a destiny? What if we're part of a masterpiece? Ooh, ooh. Until our Father brings us home.
Produced by Sound Image Productions.